Well, I'm just so honored to be here this morning, my calling of God, but more than that, just to be with you to worship the Lord. What a wonderful time together. Amen? Well, this is the last section on my series of the New Testament. We started with the kingdom of God, and then we went to salvation by grace through faith, and third one, and the most prolific, the person of Jesus Christ, four, the love of God, five, the Holy Spirit, and now finally, the resurrection. I think we heard a little bit about that already this morning, actually. How wonderful it is. You know, I was thinking about the things that we believe in. I really believe you guys are crazy. Right? I mean, the reporters on the left would probably say, these people are really out there. They believe in things that you don't even understand. The resurrection, really? Seriously? Yeah. They wouldn't give us a favorable comment, for sure. I don't know who would even step up to the plate on the left to give us an interview, but I welcome them. Because the stuff we are talking about, especially today, the resurrection, it's really crazy stuff. Think about what you're talking about. A living thing, a flesh and blood. You cut yourself, you bleed, and after the resurrection, not so much. Things are going to be totally different. Well, as a preamble to that, and an introduction to that, in John, Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 20, and I've talked about this before, you should all know this, but I just want to review it. There's really some, like, when you read it over, you say, really? I believe this? Yeah, you do. It says there, when Jesus was going to Lazarus' tomb, it says, when Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, so it was like she had her antenna out, right? She was waiting for the Lord to come. As soon as she found out Jesus was coming, she went up and met him, but Mary was still in the house. So Mary was probably waiting too. Well, she was indeed. But she didn't go to see him. And now, the next verses is probably the longest dialogue between Jesus and any New Testament Christian, and it was to Martha, a woman full of the teachings of the Lord. Because when the Lord was teaching his teachings, it wasn't just to the guys and just to the disciples, but for those who were standing around. Apparently Martha was one. Now Martha said to Jesus, same thing Mary's going to say later, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. What a statement of faith. You can say that, Lord, whatever you're going through at work or in your life with your relatives, whatever it might be, Lord, if you'd been there, this would not have happened. Right? That's just a declaration of who God is in your life. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good confession. And this is what she says. But even now, I know that whatever you ask in the name of God, God will give you. That's a proclamation prophetically of what Jesus can do in your life. Even now, after he's dead, I know that God will give you anything. Well, how does Jesus respond to that kind of faith? Because he likes that kind of faith, right? Jesus over and over is encouraging his disciples to have that kind of faith. Martha just blurts it out. And Jesus said to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. He's saying that prophetically. He's saying that as a fact that will happen. And oftentimes God will say things in your life, you don't believe him. Like he might say to you this morning, I'm going to heal you. You don't quite believe it. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. There are times when I've been so sick, so in pain, that I would not have been able to receive that word. But as I read through these scriptures, I'm taking in Martha's faith into my body, into my mind, into my soul, and say, yes, Lord, you can heal my body. Amen? Now, how many people need healing this morning? All right, let's see it. Lord, I know you can do it. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a confession of faith. I can go home now. Well, Martha answered Jesus says, oh, yeah, I've been listening to your sermons, your teachings. I know them. That's why we call you rabbi, teacher. She didn't say that, but that's what she's going to say next will justify what I just said. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Where did she get that? There was nothing about that in the previous chapters in John. Yet she knew it because he taught it to her. So it's my responsibility as your teacher to teach it to you too. You know that you will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And as we celebrate the life of Peter this afternoon, we can say that as well. We know that we will celebrate that resurrection. Well, Jesus answered her in a way that was so definite. He'd already said it, but he's saying it in a way that you can quote it for eternity, before and after, in the beginning and the end. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. So who is it? Jesus. What is your faith? Jesus. What is your life? Jesus. What is your resurrection life? Jesus. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Oh, Noel, I don't know. There's some stuff on the tombstones that are written that don't believe that. One of them I saw, it says, I told you I was sick. Or now that I'm below the sod, I'm listening. All these kinds of things that are just foolishness. But Jesus says, if you believe in me, though you die, you shall live. In other places, he says, I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. Abraham, Jacob, Moses. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I don't know if he ever taught Martha this, but he asked her, do you believe this? And I would say, I sure hope so. I sure hope that's true. Well, she said, yes, Lord. Oh, I love her faith. I believe not only that, but I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And that makes all the difference to her. It isn't the fact that he can do what he told her he would do, but she believes that he's the Christ. He's the chosen one, the Son of God, who has come into the world. God made flesh in the world that we live in. Now, I know you're crazy. You believe stuff that's just not possible in the physical realm. It's just not there. But in the spiritual realm, it is. Something in these words speak to us and to our spirit, and our soul rejoices when we hear it. That's why we read the scripture over and over again. That's why we don't mind hearing it again and again. Well, in Romans 6, there's another aspect of this resurrection that we need to know. And because Lazarus really wasn't the last day resurrection, he was resurrected from the dead as an example that God can do such things, which Jesus did even in his own tomb. But in Romans 6, verse 4, he talks about water baptism in a way that talks about the resurrection. It says, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through the baptism into death. As we go into waters of baptism, we're baptized into his death, that just as Christ was also raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so he was resurrected, even so we also should walk in that resurrection life, the newness of life. So resurrection isn't just for tomorrow and the last day. We're living in it now. After your water baptism, you're living in the resurrection power of the Lord. Is that right? Yeah, right. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. But there was one who didn't have the teachings that Martha had. And this is in Luke chapter 23, verse 42. Jesus is dying on the cross. And one of the other thieves on the cross said, why can't you do something? And then the other thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His faith was just there. Nobody taught it to him. It was just there, almost as a reaction. And there's a thing that will happen this afternoon. People will come to this celebration of life, and suddenly they will realize that it's there. The kingdom of God is there. It's for you for asking for. Now, Jesus didn't say to him, well, you're sorry. You're going to have to wait till the last trump. Or you're going to have to be in the ground for a while and sleep just like Lazarus. He said, no. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, do you believe what Jesus says is true or not? I do. Number one, I'm not sure my doctrine lines up with that. But I know my one doctrine is, which I will never let go of, is that Jesus can do anything he wants whenever he wants. He's omnipotent, omnipowerful, omniscient. He's everywhere. He can step into time and out of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So there's no stopping him. When he says, you'll be with me in paradise today, that could be very true for the Lord, but not necessarily for you. So now you're going to leave today not knowing what the resurrection is at all. But thankfully, there's a lot of scriptures about the resurrection that Martha was talking about, and that's the resurrection on the last day. And we all look forward. Apostle Paul says, if we don't have that, we're most miserable of those who have faith in the world, those who have religion. We're going to be counted as the most miserable. But no, we have a hope set before us, which is the resurrection, not just the resurrection life after baptism, not just the resurrection after we die, but the resurrection on the last day. It's going to be something that will be talked about through eternity. First, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, this will be my last introduction scripture, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, that there's going to be a time of waiting before this resurrection. But we say that to you by the word of God, that those who are alive and remain until the Lord coming will be by no means be preceded, will precede those who are asleep. That means those who are dead, physically. Remember what he said to the disciples? His Lazarus sleeps, and they said, what? And he said, well, finally, he told them directly, he's dead. So asleep and death to the Lord are the same. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. Oh, I'm waiting for that. You know, I went to a cemetery in Barrie, Vermont, where they have right next to all the quarries of marble and granite there. And there was a stone that was carved with the angel with the trumpet. I just love that one because it speaks about this scripture. You descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. There it is. That's the doctrine. Now God can do anything he wants with it in between, which we just demonstrated that he did at the cross. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air. Well, that's going to be something the left would never understand. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So there's something about the resurrection which is a comfort to us. So when we go to a funeral and a celebration of life where we're going this afternoon, we know that it is a good thing, not a bad thing, for someone to sleep until that final day. Amen? Okay, that's good. We have a few Marthas out there. Yes? Okay. So let's go to Revelations 21. And I can't possibly do justice to these scriptures. I can't be comprehensive about it. There's so much about the coming of the Lord in Revelation that, so I'm just going to review it briefly for you. Look at verse 1 of chapter 21. He's going to make all things new. Now, we actually sang a song, He's going to make us new today. So there's part of the resurrection that happens to us every morning. We're new creatures in Christ. Oh, come on. Now, when I first get up, I'm not always convinced of that. So I say, by your grace and mercy, O God, I arise from this bed, and my wife is usually there, sitting in her chair, saying, is he up? Yes, he arises. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, let's go there. Stop right there. Wait. A new heaven and a new earth. Some of us don't even know what the old heaven looks like, or a new earth, or the old earth. Well, maybe we think we do, but we haven't really examined it and see how wonderful and beautiful it is. The heavens are full of the glory of God. You know, the most beautiful thing, and the most beautiful photograph isn't a flower or an animal or something that's beautiful on the earth. It's the Milky Way itself. And it's the biggest thing. And you can see it with your naked eye. You don't need a telescope. You just need a dark sky. And you look up and you see the Milky Way, you say, that is the most beautiful thing you will ever see, this side of heaven. But here Scripture says there'll be a new heaven. So all the memorization of where the stars and planets are aren't going to help you. I once went to a concert where they had two harps, and these guys were playing these two harps, and they were just beautiful. And they stopped with them when they were playing, and they said, usually you break three or four strings during each concert. They broke one of the main strings, so he had to rewire the harp. He says, you know, you people out there in the audience may think this is really dumb, two guys playing harps, but we already know what we're doing in heaven. You know, humor is a good thing. It's good for the bones, for the Scripture says. Because we know it's true that things in heaven are going to be beautiful. A new earth. Well, I always hear preachers say that we're depleting the earth, which is true, but there's going to be a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Whoa. Also, there's no more sea, etc., etc. Holy city, the new Jerusalem. Verse 4, God, in that time, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Why are you going to be crying? And you think of all the times you failed God, failed yourself, failed your friends, all the times of betrayal. All those tears God's collected in a bottle. And he's going to, most of you are still crying? He's going to wipe them with a holiness. They won't be coming back. Because there will be no more death. What? There will be no more death. No more sorrow, nor crying. There should be, get ready for this one, no more pain. The former things have passed away. But then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. Is going to do that? You believe it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's a good thing to know today. Spring is coming, even though we're in the middle of winter. Verse 6. He says, it's done. Oh, God. On the cross, he said, it's finished. Well, the work he was doing on earth. But here he says, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, which, you, in case you didn't know what the Greek meant, the beginning and the end. He was even before that. I will give, now here's a good one. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Well, he just made everything new. Why should we need to eat or drink anymore? Because that water that he shared at the well wasn't even water. It was the words of life from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ that he gave the woman. Whoa. So even after everything is new, you'll still have a thirst. You won't have pain, but you'll still have a thirst. Your thirst is for the Word of God. Oh, yeah, that's right, David. I will give of the water of life freely. There's going to be such a rejoicing. You don't have to pay for this. It's God's giving it to you. Now let's go down a little bit further, verse 9. What about this New Jerusalem? And I'm not so interested in the New Jerusalem, although I'm starting to. See, I'm still plagued by still being in this body, by being on this planet. But here we're not going to be. The angel comes and says to John, he's just like, hey, come over with me. What? I would say, oh, wait a minute, what are you going to do? What could be better than this? What could happen now that would be so good? Come, I will show you something you've never seen before, only in a glimpse. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Oh, that day is going to be beautiful. Because you look at the Lamb's wife now and said, it can never happen. There's too much sin, too much corruption, too much evil in the world, too much temptation. You'll never be able to get there. There will be a day when that angel will take you and show you the Lamb's wife, the bride, and ask you to sit down. Amen? Oh, yeah. Now, just as Claudia shared about the New Jerusalem in a prophetic word, she talked about the 12 gates and the pearls. Each individual gate had one pearl. And each streets of the city was like pure gold, like transparent glass. Well, it can't be both. It's just trying to describe something that's not describable in our world terms. Is that right? Oh, yeah. What did you share, Rick? His eyes were, and his robe was like a flaming white light. It's not describable. Well, this New Jerusalem is interesting because what men have done through the ages is build an altar, 1, 2, and 3, whatever. But this is not going to require an altar. It's just this new city, this New Jerusalem, the place where you're going to live forever. What? Yeah. I saw no temple in it. Verse 22. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. God himself. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it. There was no need for an earth, I guess, because the glory of God illuminated it. And the Lamb is its light. Jesus is so awesome. And as we grow, in that time of the resurrection, there'll be things for us to discover, you think? Every time I turn a corner, I find something new God created. And I said, why would you create that thing? It's a bug I didn't see before. Or a butterfly or something. And he tells me all the time, he says, because I'm not you. You're becoming me, but I will never become you. Your faith is too shallow. You don't have enough interest. I do. And I'm going to put that in your heart so you will look after me, says the Lord. You will see me in the Word of God. You will see me in your brothers and sisters' smile. You will see me in the worship before the Lamb of God. Even in this day, in this hour, you will see the resurrection power of the Lord. Well, there's not only that, but in the next chapter, verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. So not just a well of life, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Well, who needs a temple when you have that? Is that right? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. On the rest of the, throughout this text, he's always saying, I'm coming quickly. I've been waiting a long time. I've been waiting my whole life. I mean, I heard these words when I was a teenager. And he said to me then, I'm coming quickly. He's saying to me now, I'm coming quickly. Verse 12 says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Wow. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end, first and last. But now the next verse, verse 14, I put it down because Luke really likes this one. Not my grandson, but the Apostle Luke. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments. So it's not the fact that you just believe it. You do what you would do when you believe it. And they have the right to the tree of life. Wait a minute. And may they enter through the gates into the city. So you're going to be invited to a place you've never been before. A place where Adam and Eve were kicked out of. But you're not going to be going back to Eve. You know, you're not going to be going back to Eden like Adam and Eve wanted to. But you're going to be going into a new city, the New Jerusalem, which will have the tree of life for sure, because Jesus is there. Now he says in this is why I really want you to read Revelation, not me, because when I talk about it, I'm going to fall into a trap of adding my own words, understanding. But this warning is, it says in verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. So I want to be careful when you start interpreting what Jesus is saying in Revelation. So I don't like to make guesses about what God means. And if I don't know, I'll be free to tell you I don't know. And if I truly know, then I will be free to tell you that as well. So that's the caveat to all the teachings about end times, eschatology, things God's going to do with the horses and the witnesses and all those kinds of things. My admonishment to you is be careful. Now, I don't know why he gives us the freedom to do what we do. We sing songs when we use the English vernacular many times, like, yeah. Like, what does that mean? That's not formal English. You know, yes, it would be a formal English. I believe it, not yeah. But yet we do. We take advantage of the Holy Spirit. We get excited, and we just use the language that's in our brain. Some of it is not so good. I had to admonish a brother who was using coarse language, even as he prophesied. I said, no, that's not God. Because Scripture says not to use coarse language. So we have to put a guard around our mouth and around our mind, saying, no, there's some things we're not supposed to do. And when we fall into trap and do them, we should repent and purpose not to do them. That's two-pronged. Purpose not to do them. Don't do them. Turn away from them. But purpose not to do them. Doesn't mean you succeed, but you're going to try. I'm going to try. Cheryl says, thank God. Verse 20. He who testifies to these says, oh, surely I am coming quickly. Again, really? His time schedule, his idea of space-time continuum is different than mine. Ern Baxter uses that word. And God can step into this space-time continuum and out of any time he wants. I used to love it when he did that. Probably the only thing I really understood what he was saying at the time. I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come what? Come the church, the Lamb? No, come Jesus. What is this all about? What can we tell the world? Well, we can only tell them what we've been saying all along, that it's Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, Father, as we partake of the resurrection life, as we look forward to the final resurrection, as we see what you're doing even in our midst, it's the power of the resurrection. Lord, when we have given up, yet you do not. We ask you to go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.